As a high-end wedding planner, I like to think of my brides as beautiful little dictators, and their wedding is their totalitarian state. So, in honor of my new book, I'm going to share some of my wedding planning tips with you, the plebeian masses. Your save the dates, or STDs, should be small enough so it can be easily spread around to all of your guests, most often transmitted via the USPS. A humorous photo can help make your STD go viral, and we all know the most memorable STDs are the viral ones. Oh no, I just got that.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for joining us today. And we're super stoked because we have, as we sometimes do, we have a third person in our sound studios across the country. We're all recording separately as we do, and we're talking on the phone, and we are so excited to introduce her for the first time on the podcast, an author. Yes, comedian, actress, writer, and author. Laura Wilcox, and she wrote a book called I Am Bride.
It's a really funny book.
To talk about this book with her. So Laura is a comedian living in Los Angeles, California. Her parody wedding guidebook, I Am Bride, was featured in The New Yorker, The Knot, and Refinery 29. She's a longtime performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater and is currently writing on the Jim Jeffries show for Comedy Central. She has appeared on Inside Amy Schumer, FX's You're the Worst, and MTV's Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Welcome, Laura Wilcox.
Woo! Applause, applause.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Laura. Woo!
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited to be here in my house.
Yes, with us in your house. So we both read your book. And
I didn't read the whole thing. I'm going to be honest because I lost it for a minute. I did like this cross country move and the holidays, and I thought I was very organized, and I went to look for it again, and I'm like, shit. But I did find it, what, 2 days ago? So I've gone through quite a bit and laughed my ass off. And I did read it when you first sent it to us. I started reading it. So
yeah.
Christy read the whole thing. She did all her homework. You know.
Well, mine's all marked up like Katie Couric, like ready to pounce. Like, What newspapers do you read? Well, tell me. But what are the names of them? Tell me them. Remember when she interviewed Sarah Palin and Sarah Palin was like, I don't know. I just any newspapers.
She's like, Russia? I don't know.
A journalist, she's always like got her like marked up, highlighted. Like there's like post-it notes stuck in here.
You guys are professional.
Totally.
We are so pro.
We make so much money doing this podcast that you would not believe how much money we made. So we really try to do like the best.
Like pennies a day.
Per episode.
That's huge, guys. Right. Some people make nothing from their podcast.
Yes. What?
That's huge.
Well, why would they do it?
Yeah.
That sounds crazy. So tell us about the book and specifically the voice that it's written in, your character.
Yes, so the book is a parody of like a wedding guidebook. It's written in the voice of a fictional psychotic wedding planner. I mean, I don't know how fictional she really is, but you know, I wrote it in the voice of this character who, this wedding planner is basically, if the wedding industrial complex were a person, she would be it. So when I was planning my own wedding, I was very naive to the world of wedding planning and the wedding industry. And I was just kind of blown away at A, how insane it is, and B, how quickly I was sucked into it, even though I really liked to think of myself as like a quote unquote cool bride. Like I think I was pretty chill in the grand scheme of things, but I was still getting very wrapped up in it. And it's just the way it's marketed towards women, and you're sort of encouraged to be this psycho who tosses aside her personal relationships and friendships and obligations to just focus on this one day.
Like permission.
It gives you permission.
Permission this one time in your life to be totally your worst self.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also just how much everything costs is ridiculous. And it just the, you know, the Pinterest fueled fervor that I found myself caught up in. And I will say, I mean, it's also, I say all this, I'm making fun of the whole wedding process. I mean, I had a very traditional wedding and I loved it, and I wouldn't change a thing. I love going to weddings. I loved having my own wedding. I didn't love planning it, but I'm really glad I did. So it's not an anti-wedding book by any means, but it's just like, we have to laugh at the process because it is completely, it is sort of insane, the things that we do. And I am a participant in this. So for me, it was like, I started writing this while I was planning my own wedding. And it was really cathartic for me to laugh at the process, to take a step back. And when I'm near tears because I can't figure out which florist I want to go with, to remember like, this is, that's funny. That's ridiculous. And who am I? And, you know, this is just a party at the end of the day. And so it was important for me to be able to remember to like take a step back and to laugh at the process and remember to enjoy it.
So you were literally writing it when you were planning, and that was a way to pull you back.
Yeah, it was really, it was a catharsis for me. I mean, humor is cathartic in general. And so it was nice to kind of go through every step of the wedding planning process. And while I was actually doing it in real life, then I was also parodying it in this book. And it was a joy to write. And I hope it's fun for people to read. I want, you know, people who are planning their own wedding and maybe need to take a break from the stress and have a laugh about it too, I hope that they can enjoy this book. That's the plan.
Did you really cry when you were trying to, decide between florists? Like, did you have any moments during the planning that you like flipped out?
Where I felt like I was losing my mind?
Yeah.
I didn't have any like huge meltdowns. I did. My mom and I met with like four or five florists. I think the like by the time we were meeting with the florist was the point. That was sort of like the moment where I realized I had maybe crossed over a little bit.
Went down the rabbit hole.
Caught up in this. Yeah, because I was very clear where, with my mom too, who's not a, neither of us are like party planners. We didn't know what we were doing. Like, this is very out of our comfort zone, out of our wheelhouse. But, you know, by the time we got to like hiring a florist, which my mother and I both agreed, like, we're not going to spend a lot of money on flowers because they're literally plants that are in the process of dying. They look very nice, but it's ridiculous to spend a ton of money on flowers. We all agreed. Great. All on the same page. And then we meet like five different florists and we're like hemming and hawing about which one to go through. There was one where we just really liked her, but we liked the designs of this other one. And then we felt so bad about not hiring the woman we liked, whose maybe designs we didn't like as much. And then I was so stressed out over this decision, when at the end of the day, I could have also just like gone to a bodega and got a bunch of tulips and stuck them on the table and no one would have cared. I didn't even notice my flowers at all on the day of my wedding. Uh-huh. I guess I noticed the ones I was holding, but I can't picture them, like the centerpieces that we hemmed and hawed over. Like, if they weren't there, I wouldn't have noticed. So
did you stay within budget for the flowers?
No.
You went over budget.
We went over budget. Cause then we're like, well, we need something over the, we like got married under this arch thing. And my mom actually, who hates spending money, kept being like, I think we need flowers hanging on the ends of each chair. And I was like,
do we need flowers on the chairs? Do we?
But do we?
I don't think we do, but you're paying for the flowers. So I guess I think I got some inspiration for the book because I was living in New York at the time. And I reached out to some like Brooklyn florist whose stuff I'd seen somewhere, and her designs were so beautiful. And so I reached out and was like, oh, hi, I'm just looking for a florist for my wedding, just trying to get a sense of your pricing, like, you know, let me know. And they wrote back and were like,
we can't just give that information out.
Yeah, well, they were like, our minimum budget, we start at $15,000 because we find it's really not worth our time for anything less than that, was what they said back to me. And I was just like, what? $15,000 yep. minimum? Otherwise, it's not worth your time to give, like, oh my God, this industry is crazy. Also, we should all be working in the wedding industry because we'd be so rich.
I do have to pick one part that you said to, because I know that, you know, I very much respect florists and their craft.
I do too.
And yes, they are dying plants, but it is their time and it is their talent. So that is partly what you're paying for. But
that's true.
But totally, totally, totally know and hear what you're saying.
Yes. I mean, I will say the flower arrangement, like the people that we did hire, I was obsessed with the bouquets that they made, and I was obsessed with everything in their like online portfolio, and it's definitely much nicer than if I had gone to a bodega and gotten some tulips. But yeah, the amount of stress was what was disproportionate, I would say. Yeah.
We're going to include some pictures of your wedding, right? We can share those.
Oh, yes.
So when you send us some good ones that really like encapsulate the day, make sure that
I want to see those centerpieces.
We can see some flowers in some of them.
Oh yeah, I'll send you some. I remember my mom saying she thought they were too small. That's the only, I was like, I couldn't even tell. I don't know, Mom.
You're too small,
it's
Mom.
Over now. Yeah. You're too small.
Oh, now is the time that we need to mention something very important.
Very important.
Manly Bands.
Woo-hoo!
Manlybands.com. That's where you need to go if you are looking for a wedding ring, especially if you're a man. But even if you're not, Michelle and I both found bands on manlybands.com that we love, including ones that are a little bit thinner. Like I really liked the one with the rose gold on the bottom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Manly Bands are unique and affordable. They have great customer service, free shipping, awesome return policies. And the best walking promotion for Manly Bands is that my husband, a manly man himself, wears a Manly Band. He wears blue steel and it fits him perfectly because we knew what his ring size was. But if it didn't, we would have been able to exchange very easily. And he gets lots of compliments and he works with his hands a lot. He's in the restaurant industry. He hasn't lost it. He hasn't dinged it up. It still looks amazing. And it's like $150, you guys. So you can't beat that.
Not with a stick. Not with a manly band.
You can get a discount just for being a Big Wedding Planning Podcast listener. So when you order your Manly Band, you can put in our code in the code part of your checkout. Is that right, Michelle?
So at checkout.
Yes.
You put in the code. I just said exactly what you said.
Yeah. So at checkout, you're going to, there's a place to put in a code. And right now I'm going to give you the code.
Okay, here it comes.
So here it comes. Here comes the code. TBWPP, and that stands for the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just in case you were wondering, TBWPP,
15%
off of these already really well priced, awesome rings. Thank you, Manly Bands. We love you.
Well, when we talked yesterday, and you gave me a little rundown on how you got to this point. You said that the wedding industry was ripe for parody, which I think is
I love that.
Perfect. Yes, we agree. And we've, you know, Michelle and I have definitely been a part of it for a while and met. I mean, I still roll my eyes or I'll read things or I'll look at somebody's Instagram feed and just be like, what is happening? Yeah. Why is that a thing? But because the book is a parody book, it definitely is. I mean, I love it. I think it is on the side of like it's a little dark in places, which are my favorite excerpts were the dark ones. But just Yeah, we're going to read a lot of it in this interview, but I wanted people to know, like, right. It is definitely like one of the dark SNL skits, not the like fluffy ones.
Yes.
You need to have it on your bedside, you know, or in your purse throughout the planning process. Yeah. And just it must have really been great therapy for you.
It really was. And I will say, I think it's a great toilet book. And I say that with so much respect for my own book. It's a great one. Just keep it there. And when you have some time where you're sitting for a while.
Yeah.
Because when do we ever stop in our busy lives? I think that's like really the only time. So
it is. I will say it's the right size to just sit. You know, it goes in the bathroom very nicely or the back of the toilet tank, you know, top of the toilet tank.
It's just, and I think it would look, the Tiffany blue really looks nice against the white porcelain.
Yeah, I love the color.
You got to go with the Tiffany blue.
What excerpt did you pull one, Laura, that was one of your favorites? I know we're going to do the quiz and the timeline stuff, but was there another one?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it. And we'll do the quiz later.
So here's an excerpt I'll read. This is about the bachelorette party, which is, this is a chapter called The People Who Work For You, which is all about your vendors and most importantly, your bridal party, because those are the people who work for you.
Yes.
But for free. So here's an excerpt I'll read. The bachelorette party is another time-honored tradition that marks a woman's final night out on the town as a single woman or a harlot, and is another example of something you should expect your bridesmaids to throw for you. Much like a birthday party gets a child worked up, a bachelorette party can have a dramatic effect on a bride-to-be. Expectations are high, which often leads to disappointment and tears. But that doesn't mean you should be holding your bridesmaids to a lower standard. It just means they need to try harder to not disappoint you. Below is a list of what is appropriate to cry about at your bachelorette party and what is not. So it is appropriate to cry when people aren't paying enough attention to you, the stripper won't go to bed with you, if the stripper is ugly.
Perfect.
When you realize Atlantic City is a very bad place, if your penis crown is too tight, the guys at the club aren't paying enough attention to you, if your girlfriends are fighting with one another and therefore not paying enough attention to you, when Becky keeps insulting the hotel because it's so freaking obvious that Becky is just jealous because she'll be alone forever, you may cry. When you just like can't even, if any of your girls don't adhere to the strict dress code, I mean, you wear white, they wear black, how freaking hard is that to understand? When your Southern Comfort lime shots aren't arriving promptly enough, when you catch Becky rolling her eyes at the price for bottle service at the club, I mean, it's not your fault Becky is broke, so why is she making this all about her? If you burn yourself with a hair straightener, when you don't like how you look in the selfie that Becky just posted and she refuses to take it down because she's a freaking bitch. When it's mealtime, when it's humid, or when you catch a fleeting glimpse of yourself in a mirror and you don't look as happy as you thought you would be, you may cry. Now, it is inappropriate to cry at your bachelorette party when, one, a national tragedy occurs during your bachelorette party. It's much more comely to remain stoic during these tough times. Two, when you realize how mean you've been to Becky. I mean, she did plan the whole weekend after all, and you can't let her know you feel bad because that's a sign of weakness, and she'd just walk all over you, just like she did in college. Or three, when you wake up next to a strange man and decide the only way to cover this up is murder. Or four, your selfie stick breaks. That's an embarrassing technology. Be grateful. Do not cry. So that's just a little how-to, a little guide on when you may and may not cry at your bachelorette party. Just a little advice from one expert.
Perfect. My excerpt was actually about bridesmaids. My favorite, I think it's my favorite couple sentences in the whole book.
Perfect.
So mine is in that same chapter about your servant bridesmaids. 90% of bridesmaids are good friends, and 98% of those good friends are sorority sisters. And there's a reason for that. A friendship forged through binge drinking and group sex in fraternity basements means you two have a sisterhood based on blackmail and deep, dark secrets, which makes your sorority sister the ideal bridesmaid.
I mean, it's just true. It's a time, yeah. I mean...
You scratch her back, she scratches yours. Her wedding's coming
exactly.
up.
Exactly, yeah. These are people who can't say no to you, so they're the perfect people to ask.
So my favorite part is about... you're going to be upstaged by God.
In the ceremony? For the ceremony section? Yes. This is only...
What was it? Yeah. If you have a church wedding?
If you have a church wedding.
This is a drawback.
Oh, okay, okay.
Church wedding.
So, well, it starts with, one needn't have their ceremony in a church, temple, or other house of God these days. Heck, people are getting married on piers, in fields, and even under trees in parks. But a majority of ceremonies are still religious, as they should be. After all, why have a ceremony if you don't believe the wrath of God will punish you for not doing it? Here are a few things to consider if you do opt for a religious ceremony. You're going to be upstaged by God. Getting married in a religious space means that whoever is officiating is going to spend most of your wedding ceremony not talking about you, but about someone else, namely Jesus, God, or Yahweh, depending on what kind of religion you practice. This is well and good on Easter, Christmas, or whatever Jews call Christmas, but on your wedding day, this is a bitter pill to swallow and a huge sacrifice that you must make. So prepare yourself.
It's just true.
Are you guys Jewish? You and your husband? I didn't look at...
No, we're not, but I grew up... I'm like a wannabe. Like, I grew up in northern New Jersey, and literally all my friends were. And everyone always assumes I am, which I'm like, thank you. like, and when I was in middle school, all my friends went to Hebrew school after school, and I was so left out that I told my mom I want to convert and go to Hebrew school. To hang out with my friends. And she was like, you can, if you're actually interested in converting, you can do that, but you'd have to like, it's a lot of work and you'd have to like study the Torah. Mm-hmm. And if you're really interested, then we will, you know, you can do that. But she called my bluff immediately. I was like, no, I just want to hang out with my friends.
Can I read one more, dealing with the flower girl?
Yes.
this is, having a flower girl can be an endearing way to incorporate a young niece or secret bastard daughter into your ceremony. But keep in mind that by having a flower girl, you are also dressing a young girl up in a beautiful dress, placing a flower crown on her head, and allowing her to walk down your aisle, all eyes on her. In other words, you're creating a miniature bride that you must compete with. Luckily, there are a few ways to help maintain the power balance so that it is always tipping in your favor.
They always do steal the show.
And you'll have to read the book, ladies, to find out. No, they really do. Yeah. I mean, how many times you've been to a wedding and what you remember is the cute flower girl messing up when she goes down the aisle because she's a child and doesn't know what she's doing. I mean, that's what people remember. And
it's,
I mean, if you're okay with that, then you're a bigger person than I am.
It's either cute because she's messing up or it's adorable because she's doing it perfectly, but either way, people follow her all the way to the seat.
People are oohing and aahing. They're filming her. I mean, yeah, it's a risk you're taking.
It is. It's
having one for sure.
A variable that may not go in your favor. So you have this quiz. What kind of bride are you? And I remember.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to do it, and it's in the book, and it's awesome, and we're also going to post the graphic of it. But I remember seeing it. So was it? I read like Jezebel and just news apps. Was it somewhere?
Yes, this was actually the New Yorker published this in their Shouts and Murmurs section. So it was online in their Daily Shouts. So if you go there, you can see like the full infographic. It's sort of like a flow chart infographic that'll help you. So it's just like a magazine quiz basically to help you determine what kind of bride you are.
It must have been shared a lot too, like on wedding blogs and like Twitter. I clicked on it, but I don't think I clicked on the actual New Yorker.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. That's
very funny. And the same, I mean, with the answers of the types of brides, your illustrator from the book did such a great job on these.
Oh, yeah. Jason O'Malley, who is fantastic. He's a wonderful illustrator, and he's also funny. So his illustrations have such a great sense of humor to them, and it just was like the perfect fit for this book. We're so thrilled that we found him. He has beautiful renditions of all the different types of brides. And really, you need to know what type of bride you are before you even start planning, because it's gonna color the whole thing. So
you ask us, Michelle, let's answer to get, or I'll defer to you, Michelle, for these answers, since your wedding was further in history than mine was. And you can say, like, what kind of bride would you be now if she
I'm the old bitch, so let's do me.
If you were doing it again.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's okay. What I have on you, and I'll never not have it. That's the only thing.
So here's the flow chart. So first question, are you the feminine half of the couple?
Yes.
Are you girly or is gender not binary / you're sporty?
Wait. What? Are you what? Are you girl? Oh.
Are you girly or are you more like, is gender not a binary / you're sporty? So like femme, not femme.
I guess I'm girly. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. No one would ever like wonder.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What you want your adjective to be.
It's okay. Just go with the gut. You know, there's no wrong answers except for the few that are. Bridesmaids dresses. Yes or no?
Yes.
Long or short?
Short.
Cowboy boots or coordinated heels?
Do they have to be coordinated? I guess, okay, heels.
You are a glam bride.
Ooh.
Here's a description for you, the glam bride. To you, nothing is ever good enough. There is no such thing as too much sparkle, too many feathers, too much animal print, too strong a Long Island accent, or too wide a berth that people must make to navigate the girth of your wedding gown. You understand that to be a woman is to be flashy. After all, if angels can be dressed head to toe in feathers, why shouldn't you be? When guests walk into your wedding, or your home for that matter, you want the decor to be so over the top that your guests feel like they're being physically assaulted by beauty and chandeliers. That is you, and if it feels inaccurate, I'm sorry, you're wrong. This test is never failed.
I'm wrong. This test is tried and true. I love one of the first questions is, does God exist? Mm-hmm. And if you answer no, it just skips the rest of the test and goes to non-traditional bride.
Mm-hmm. Funky bride.
Which is what a lot of brides are calling themselves now. And I don't always think it's the, like, sometimes a bride will say, I'm a really non-traditional bride. And then once she starts telling me about her wedding, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
That all sounds pretty traditional.
Very traditional. Like, let me guess. You're wearing a T-length dress and Converse sneakers. Like, it's not non-traditional if a bunch of other people are doing it.
I did do that one wedding, though, that was non-traditional, Michelle, with the two lesbian, vegan, atheists. And that I...
Oh, there you go. Oh, so the
yeah, that
right
I felt
on.
Like checked all the boxes. Yeah. Except afterwards, when I've talked about them, and I want them to be on the podcast, and I love them both, but one of the brides told me, I actually don't refer to myself as a lesbian. And then the other bride was like, but I do. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm so... progressive, I feel like I'm so woke with all of this, but what do you refer to yourself as then? Because you just married a woman, and anyway, she was like, well, I'm pan sexual, so I consider myself pan. And
I thought her name was Pam.
Pam,
like,
the pan.
I am me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it was kind of eye-opening because here I thought I knew what was what, and I was calling them my non-traditional lesbian brides, but I should nix the word lesbian and, you know, just non-traditional suits. That is just a good overall description. But atheism was a huge part of their ceremony, so it was super cool to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, their ceremony had all this, like, science-y stuff.
Oh, I love that.
The officiant was Dr. Lawrence Krauss, who's, like, this giant. He, like, works with Richard Dawkins all the time. He's a scientist who's written all these books and does all these talks about atheism and spirituality.
Oh, I love that.
Super cool. Yeah, super cool. They would fit in the non-traditional bride breakdown you have here.
I love the graphic for non-traditional bride that she's like got, you know, she's got hairy legs, hairy armpits, sleeve tattoo, and her nips are totally showing.
Yeah, no bra.
Through the dress, like no bra.
Yeah, that's all Jason.
And she's wearing Converse.
She's wearing Converse, of course, and a T-length dress. Yeah, she's just doing whatever. Yep. She's just doing what she wants. She knows who she is, and she's going for it, and that's why we love her. We love all our brides. Yeah. I mean...
Which one were you in IRL? Classical?
Me?
You said it was pretty traditional. Laura?
I think I was kind of like a rustic bride who didn't have the patience to plan a wedding in an actual barn. So I think I was kind of a mix of like rustic and maybe a classical bride. I don't know. I'd go with rustic. I tried to keep things pretty laid back, but I'm not planning a wedding in a barn. That's so much more work when you have to like pick every individual vendor. I just got married in like an actual wedding venue where they do all the work for you.
Nice.
Yeah. Good choice.
Thank you. I like, so this, another thing I want to point out that this, one of the first questions of the flow chart is, are you feminine half of the couple? And that's meant to be a trap to catch any grooms who dare try to read this book. There's a recurring thing in each chapter. There's a section just for the groom, because the grooms are heavily discouraged from reading this book, because as the author says, the voice of this author, who I guess is just maybe one part of, like, the darkest part of my own personality, you know, a man planning a wedding is like a monkey riding a bike, which just pointless and makes people feel weird. So, and that was that, which is of course not true. My husband was very involved in planning the wedding, because I would have killed him if he didn't. But what that, the inspiration for that was when I was planning my own wedding, and I bought a wedding guidebook to tell me what to do, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was reading through it, and it had like a checklist of like 18 months out, buy your dress, 6 months out, do this. And so I was just blindly following this checklist, and it was very helpful. But my husband, or fiance at the time, was looking through it, and he was like, it doesn't mention me and what I should be doing, because I also don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. It doesn't mention, and I was reading through, and I was like, it doesn't mention the groom at all. Nowhere, yeah. There's no reference to him anywhere, except maybe when it's saying like, oh, if you want your groomsmen to coordinate with your bridesmaid's dresses, now's the time to think about it. It was, and I was like, that's a really good point, that so much of the wedding stuff is just geared at the bride. It's as if, and it's also like the wedding is a woman's big day.
It's still like this, and it makes me crazy.
Yeah, it's very, that was one of the most shocking things to me, was realizing like, oh, everything is geared at me, and he's supposed to just show up and do what I tell him. And it's like, the whole reason we're doing this is not so that I can just be a princess for the day. Like, I'm marrying him. We're fusing our lives together. That's what this is about. It's, and that gets completely individuals. Lost.
Yeah.
By the sort of like consumerism. So that's why on the cover of my book, I have a bride who is obscuring the face of the groom, and that's a very central theme in the book, is like, this day is about you, no one else.
And only you.
And only you. So
we did a whole thing about that, right, Michelle, with the distribution of labor and how it's geared towards women. But this article was written, you know, from like a post-feminist viewpoint of like, what the hell? Why is this all women's work when it comes to, but it's domestic in nature, because it's like, it's making something pretty, and it's planning a timeline, which is what, you know, domestic women are supposed to do with scheduling. And
it starts to mirror like what the traditional role of a woman is in a marriage, and how she takes care of the home and plans all of the family, you know, vacations and shit, and like does the dishes
and does everything. And takes the kid,
and millennials are changing that as they are getting married. I've like the younger the couple. If the mom is not driving the truck, in that case, it's just mom and daughter mayhem. But if when I'm getting younger couples, and I not like 21, but like 31, the groom or the partners are both, it seems much more involved. And I'm getting emails from both of them. And it is, I love it, but I still am a little bit surprised. Like when a groom takes on more than just one thing, like sometimes he just handles the DJ. For some reason, that's like the groom's thing.
I'll do music. Yeah. I can do that.
When they take on more than that, I'm always surprised. And then I have to remind myself, like, don't be surprised. That should be a normal, expected behavior.
It's totally. This should be normal.
The book is so funny. And I love that you wrote it in that character and in that voice. And I think for me as a wedding planner who, like, we've said this before, like, I won't work with anybody who comes and meets with me and uses the word perfect. Like it just, I'm like, okay, we're not a good fit. And so it's hilarious to me to read this, because I'm like, let's be anti this. Yeah. Like this is not the way things are anymore.
You should not use this book as an actual wedding. You should.
No.
You should use this as a list of what not to do. Like a,
do not be this.
Do the opposite of everything the book says.
Right.
At the very end of this book, you have a wedding planning checklist, which is something that's at the very end of many wedding books or binders or things that you could buy. So I looked through that and was like, I marked notes all over it, like bullet points that stuck out to me. And I thought some of them actually have a little bit of truth to them or some good advice to where I was like, well, that actually is true. So if you read us some, then Michelle and I will give, because this is written in the voice of a crazy wedding planner. So we'll give you our more down-to-earth, realistic view of, you know, we can comment on these bullet points early on, right? Yeah.
Yes. So I'll read my version and you guys can maybe say how you would do it in real life. You can tell me.
Right.
Okay. So from the wedding planning checklist, so before the engagement, mail out your save the
before
dates.
The engagement.
Yes, mail them out before the engagement. That's because you know it's coming. You've sent in the ring. You've already planned the wedding at this point. Let's be real. So there is a finite number of Saturdays in any given wedding season, and you want to lay claim to your date as far in advance as you can, or you just know freaking Becky's going to take it. So that's why you want to do it before the engagement even happens. You need to really, like, you need to be planning ahead, ladies.
Save the date before the engagement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's just my advice.
I actually wrote a little note on there that that save the date does have to happen pretty early.
Yes.
Because of that very reason, so many Saturdays, wedding season is only so long. I don't think it's inappropriate to send out a save the date 12 months in advance. And that, you know, some people think that, well, that seems so early. So I do think it does need to be one of the first things you can do if possible.
Yeah.
But before the engagement obviously is hilarious and fucking Becky. Yeah. Like she's the worst. Can you just
Becky. We all have a Becky, you know. We all and usually they're named Becky. That's just we've got Becky with the good hair. I actually wrote this before Becky with the good hair, but before Lemonade, so I feel like Beyonce and I are the same. Anyway, you guys can debate that in the comments or whatever. If I am Beyonce, I don't know. Just think about it. Let's see, there's another one. So 18 to 9 months before the wedding, in this time frame, you should begin the delicate dance that is wooing a wedding florist. Remember, this is like a mating ritual. Demonstrate respect and deference. Never bare your teeth. This process could take months, and one false move will send that florist packing, forcing you to start all over again. Truly, it's the most important part of the wedding, so you want to plan ahead.
What do you think, Michelle, with the like dance, the dance with the florists?
I think that
is one vendor that you have to compare quotes. That's what stuck out to me was like, you know, you might only meet with one photographer and they have your price point and that's that. But usually brides or couples meet with that, get quotes from at least two florists. So that does feel like a little bit delicate because you are comparing what they're going to offer you and their prices and their attitudes. So in that way.
Yeah, and you do want to do it pretty far out. You do. Yeah. Because they book up. The good ones book up.
Yeah. So I got it right.
Ah.
So here's another thing to do in the same 18 to 9 month time frame before the wedding is you can start compiling your modeling lookbook for your wedding photographer go sees. You want a high-end photographer, which means the photographer will actually be choosing you. Thoughts? I learned what a go see is from watching America's Next Top Model.
Yes, get out on those go sees, girls.
Smize, and that's all I remember.
I will say that photographers, at least I would say, want that one or usually a handful of couples that are very good looking, that they know that they're like, oh my God, these people are going to look amazing and I want to book them no matter what. It's true.
It's a visual medium. You can't, it is what it is.
The odds of getting published and being able to
promote it. Not that they won't work with ugly people, but like you...
I can't work with all ugly people.
They might be more willing to work with your budget if you're really, really good looking and you have good taste.
That's what I'm saying. Is you, if you're a really hot couple and you know it, then you need to work the hot couple discount with your wedding photographer. You can like really use that as a negotiating like leverage.
If you're a really hot couple, you're going to be using that discount for the rest of your life. Yeah. Just like if you're a hot woman, you're so used to it being like, oh, you threw that in for free? I can't believe it. Thank you so much.
Really going 85 into 25.
Yeah.
Like, if you've never paid for a drink and never paid a speeding ticket, then you probably can get a free wedding photographer. Just saying. I'm not, I don't have any personal experience in this because I am not a hot, but.
You're not a hot?
You know, I'm not a hot. I'm fine. I'm doing fine, but I'm not a hot, you know? So I had to pay full price.
You have to work harder, be smarter.
You need a higher wedding budget.
It's okay. I had to develop a sense of humor as a defense mechanism because I'm not a hot, and here we are. So, you know, it all works out in the end. Don't cry for me.
The next one is my favorite one. Yeah.
Yes. So the 8 to 7 months before the wedding, this is the time to select bridesmaid dresses. Be swift and decisive. Suffer no fools. Spare no expense. Choose an unflattering color.
I just love that you said suffer no fools. I need to use that phrase in my life more often in all aspects. Suffer no fools.
We should all do that more
suffer
often.
Suffer no fools.
So then let's see. So now we're at 6 to 4 months before the wedding. So check in with your wedding invitation guru. Do you need another vision quest? Has the voice of God told you your wedding invitation truth? Will you go with a seasonal theme or a simple color palette? Museum quality cardstock or iridescent? Don't rush this important process.
That's hilarious because...
What a wild ride.
Yeah, we did just have a bride on that said she was like freaking out about mm-hmm. the invitations the most, like the paper and the font, mm-hmm. and that she has to like talk herself out of it. But the thing I noted on that is that there is often a round two with mm-hmm. invitations. So that's sort of what you're insinuating. Like now it's time to circle back. Yeah. You've decided who you're going to hire and now check in about like production and how things are going. So that is, there is some truth to that.
Yeah.
It often takes more than one meeting to nail down an expensive, you know, boutique invitation experience.
Right.
You definitely don't have to do that if you're ordering off of weddingpaper.com or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is just as easy and pretty much looks awesome.
Yeah. I think we use Minted and I really like them. It was like, this is just another example of like picking up the invitations was kind of fun, but just took us so long to decide on something we both liked. And I feel like when I look back on planning a wedding, all I can remember is just the decision fatigue I had. I don't know if you guys talk about that a lot, like the billions of little decisions over things that I didn't have an opinion on and I suddenly needed to form an opinion on. Like, I didn't know what I want my wedding invitations to look like. Like, when I first went to the wedding venue that we went with and the woman was showing us around, like, we were just checking it out for the first time. And the woman was like, well, here's the, you know, room where the reception would be. What are your wedding colors? And I was like, what are my wedding I was going to wear white. Like, I didn't understand the question. She was like, no, what are your wedding colors? What will the colors of your wedding be? And I was like,
she just says it slower.
Yeah, I was like, I got engaged 3 weeks ago. Like, I don't know. I didn't know that I had to ever pick colors. Like, there was just so many little things
like
that.
Fucking amateur.
I don't know. You tell someone. Tell
Where's
me.
Your wedding planner? Where is she? Bring her. Find one, and then come back.
I know. I needed to find. This is why you have a wedding planner, clearly, so they can make the decisions for you. So 2 to 3 months before the wedding, you want to finalize the menu for the reception. When you're doing a tasting, make sure to sample all of the entrees at room temperature, as that's how they'll be served the day of.
That is genius.
True? False?
I told Michelle, that's actually really good advice. That is sort of true. That's why I don't think soup works if you have more than 50 people.
No.
I love soup. But
I like soup.
It's really hard at
a wedding
reception.
Actually, I once went to a wedding where they served like a creamy lobster bisque. And no one danced at that wedding because I think everyone felt like they had a brick in their stomach. It was delicious.
They wanted to take a nap.
Everyone was just nappy and gassy for the rest of the wedding, I think. I thought that was I wouldn't recommend a thick lobster bisque at your wedding.
I like the bottom one of 3 to 2 months before the wedding. Touch base with all your vendors. You should be sending them no fewer than 5 to 20 anxious emails a day. If not, it means you're overlooking something important. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
You can't trust anyone.
Oh, boy.
Do not trust advice. And let go. That's our advice, but this book is saying white knuckle it
and
micromanage.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the only way to get through
the
life.
The next one that you're going to read reminded me so much of our political times right now.
Oh, okay. So 1 month before the wedding, follow up with anyone who hasn't RSVP'd and rescind their invitation. You don't have time for their bullshit.
Yes, I get it.
Doesn't that sound like Donald Trump?
It does.
And he's like, well, now you can't come to the White House. No, invitation rescinded.
You cannot come into my country.
That is a Trumpian move. But look, we did have a couple of those last minute people who, you know, the RSVP by date had come and gone. We're like, okay, you know how this works, right? Like, we have to, like, give a head count. Like, you can't just, you need to tell us mm-hmm. if you're coming. And I hear from a lot of friends who have, like, no shows, and we luckily didn't have that, but it seems like this, like, no shows at a wedding is actually kind of common, and that takes my breath away because it's so...
Yeah, so rude.
It's such an expensively rude thing to do to someone, because it's like they're paying for you. They're paying for your food, probably a good amount of money, and you just not showing up.
I mean, unbelievable,
like,
dickhead.
I mean, truly.
I'm sorry, no I'm getting in this character now. It's... I need to go meditate after this.
We're going to like go forth and just kick some ass today.
So let's say, so the week of the wedding, we've got delegate wedding day tasks to the bridesmaids. Who is on veil guarding duty? Who will bustle your dress? Who will hold your dress up when you have to pee? Who will be willing to take an actual beating if you need to blow off steam? Who will make sure your ex-lovers get text updates about how beautiful and happy you look? It's best to sort this all out now, so you don't have to worry about a thing on the day of.
I actually do think it's true that you should enlist, like, you have your wedding party if you have a wedding party. If not, you have some best friend or sister figure that's there, but someone should be your, like, right hand. I mean, not just for help going to the bathroom, but for, like, I'm having an emotional response to this. Somebody needs to talk me down. And in my life, that person would know who they are. So yeah. I do, you know, when I'm a wedding planner and I know that there's a bride and she has one maid of honor who's like her best bestie, I do kind of count on that
right
person. Like, has she eaten? Right. Is she crying? Right. Is this just normal?
Like the hand of the queen or something like that. Like
totally.
Everything goes through them. They're like the filter between the outside world and the bride.
I do at rehearsal. I'm like, okay, you're on dress duty. That's you.
Yeah. It's smart to have like one person to really, that could read you from across the room and like intervention time if necessary.
It's true. Okay. So this is the final check mark in this long checklist of things to do. This is on the day of your wedding. Take one final close look at yourself in the mirror. This is the closest to true happiness you're ever going to feel. At this moment, your life is full. Enjoy it. And I kind of meant that darkly, as like your life is peaking and will never be this good, but it's kind of true. It really is a great day.
It's downhill.
Remember to enjoy it. It's all downhill from here, and the rest of your life is a march towards death. But yeah, you know, it is really you have to remember to enjoy it, because you've worked really hard to get to the point where this party is happening. So what's the point if no one's having fun, right?
And if you don't look amazing. Yes.
And if you don't look amazing, then why even show up at your own wedding?
Did you, for your wedding, I'm curious, you didn't have a wedding planner.
No.
Did your venue have a coordinator?
Yes.
Did you hire a month
Yes, there was a coordinator at the venue, which is part of why we went with the venue, because, like, truly I wanted help, but I mean, I feel like we could afford, just because New York's prices are insane for having, for weddings, so... Yeah, so they helped kind of keep things moving the day of, which was actually really great, because I felt like I didn't have to worry about stuff too much. And that was really nice.
Good.
Yeah.
If you could choose the actress, and you can't choose yourself because you're an actress, but you can't do this role, that your dream actress that would play you in a movie about your wedding, who would it be? I have one for you, but I want to hear yours.
Oh, my gosh. Let me think. Maybe Greta Gerwig, because I'm told I look like her.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that?
She directed Lady Bird, and she's been in, like, a bunch. She did, like, a lot of, like, mumblecore movies, and was in, like, Frances Ha.
She did some Woody Allen movies.
Hold on. I'm looking her up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and but also she's a, I loved the movie Lady Bird, which she wrote and directed. So she could play me and also write and direct the movie of my life. There but we, also, I should be in it.
There we go. You said it here. Well, you're going to be Becky.
Yeah, I'll be Becky, of course. Yeah. Actually, that would be a really fun role to play, to be the Becky.
Becky.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd always love to be the Becky in any situation.
I was thinking Rose Byrne could play you. That bitch, you know, she's so funny and she's also so beautiful. Damn. It's like, why do you get to be both?
And she has that accent.
Yeah.
No, you're not supposed to be able to have all these things, but she has all those things.
She does, yeah. And she would be funny in the role of a, just what, well, you were not a Brooklynite, were you, are you?
I was, I lived in, I yeah, I was. I've okay. only been in LA for like a year and a half, so okay. I'm still a Brooklynite at heart.
Yeah, she could do it. She could be like a Jewish wannabe, lost in mm-hmm. the world of wedding planning, bright-eyed.
Totally.
Yeah. Right, good. Well, we have that taken care of. I think you just asked the universe.
Yeah, we've got that
for
solved.
A movie, and
100%.
Any wedding advice, you, Laura? You know, not this crazy wedding planner that wrote the book, but rather you, advice out there for these peeps listening right now.
I think that when planning a wedding and just approaching life in general, having a sense of humor about what you're doing and being able to laugh at yourself and to be able to laugh at a situation, especially one that's maybe a little high stress, I think is the key to not only like getting through the wedding planning process alive, but actually enjoying it. And I think being able to laugh at yourself and laugh at the situation is going to make anything you do that's maybe a little hard a lot more fun.
Very good advice. I like that. Yes. Yeah. So you are nothing like this crazy person.
I swear I'm not. I really
you are
hope
the
I'm
you are the crazy person. You did write the book.
She did come from deep inside me.
She's
so,
in
but
there
maybe
somewhere.
It's the part I suppress. She's in there somewhere, deep down.
She's your alter ego.
You can buy the book "I Am Bride" on Amazon, mm-hmm. which is how everyone buys books. So I don't even know why we have to go on, but or Barnes and Noble, anywhere books are sold.
Yeah.
And you can check out iambridebook.com for more info, and we'll link to that. And if you want, just if you want to, though, you can follow Laura herself
just if you want.
On Twitter and Instagram at Laura_Wilcox, 2 L's. And but please be warned, as Laura, you just got a dog, right? So there's a lot of
I did just get a dog, and I have a phone with portrait mode now, so I just want to put that warning out there. There's going to be a lot of artistic photographs of my dog, and I just put that disclaimer. He's a little mutt. I think he's definitely got to be part Chihuahua because he's small, but he's a true mutt. He has like one ear that points up and one ear that's flopped over. He's really cute. Oh. He's sweet. He's a really good boy, and he photographs well. So I'm just letting you know that it's gonna be
What's
a dog.
His name?
His name is Buddy.
Oh, Buddy.
Which he came with that name, and we feel like we can't change it because he knows it. So he's a little Buddy though.
Yay! Hey, Laura, thank you so much for reaching out to us and for sharing this book and sharing your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh yeah, we're super happy to have you anytime. And you, everybody listening, like, go get this book. It's get on Amazon now. It's hilarious. You've got to buy it.
Follow that advice.
Very good. Thank you again for taking the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right. You want to throw out all the usual, you know,
oh, yes.
Stuff
you can
there?
Follow us on Twitter at TBWP Podcast, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.com, and the Big Wedding Planning Podcast at gmail.com. Email us your questions or comments and subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. And Michelle will do a cartwheel.
I'll do a cartwheel.
Whoa.
Oh, on the podcast. Yeah, you'll hear it.
Yes, I will talk about the cartwheel that she's doing because she's so excited when we get reviews. And we just love you. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.
Happy planning. Bye-bye.